Good morning, Hebrew Nation and all my Torah fans. It is such a delight to be with you this beautiful Tuesday morning down in South Mississippi. I'd like to say to all of you that are listening this morning, welcome home, Hebrew Nation. And of course, I want to welcome you specifically into my home as we sit down and look at this past week's Torah portion. You know that we were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and I was actually just a day late getting back to you because we had some things that were going on. I was a little bit under the weather trying to recuperate, but nonetheless, we're back with you. Yesterday's program was actually a recorded message on last week's Torah portion better sheet, and that's what I want to do this morning. I want to pick up there and just begin to examine that particular Torah portion. It's a beautiful Torah portion, and there is so much that is found within the first six chapters of this book called Bereshit or Genesis that you literally could spend the rest of your life, the entirety of it, on the first verse of Genesis 1:1, and I'm quite sure that as we begin to delve into it, you'll see some things that you may not have seen before. And if that's the case, my goodness, we want to admonish you to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 tells you, and that is to study to show yourself approved unto Yah, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. And there's only one way to do that. That is by rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it becomes something that is an indictment that's served against us or served to us to cause us to have the ability to take on that responsibility, if you will, to find out if, in fact, what you're hearing is the truth. If you go back and study Jeremiah chapter 16, you'll find that our fathers inherited lies. And so if those lies have been passed down to us, quite a number of the things that have been traditionally grandfathered into our religious churches and church groups and some of the traditions that we are accustomed to are, in fact, cloaked and shrouded in half-truths. And so I would suggest that you do just that. Go back and revisit them. And there's no better place to start than in the Torah and specifically in the book of Genesis called Bereshit, the book of beginnings. And so if you will, come on into the room with me for a few moments. Tell everybody that's sitting around you to gather themselves something to take notes with, to write with, and sit down with me for a moment. You and I have just got to talk. Well, before we get into Genesis, I want to read to you something from the book of Isaiah. And of course, it's in Isaiah chapter 46. And I want to remind you that here in the book of Isaiah, it's actually talking about this book known as Genesis, Bereshit. And if you're like me, and most of those that I come across, and of course that includes our own congregation here at Manna from Heaven Ministries, you're deeply concerned with what is going on around you at this particular season, and you're also concerned about your future. You can look around you and you see that there are some very severe economic crises that's on the horizon. We're even the politicians are acknowledging that we're in the midst of recession, and you and I fully are aware of the fact that fathers told us a lot of these things would take place in the end days. And if you want to know what's going to happen, well, my goodness, you're about to launch off into the book known once more as Genesis, Bereshit, which will give you some tremendous insight regarding what's going to happen in our day, the end day. And that's why I wanted to call your attention to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. If you will, turn there with me. Verse 9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I am Yahweh, and there is none like me." Oh, by the way, that word for none there in Hebrew is the word ephes. And it not only does it mean that there's no one else, or it actually is describing a boundary, a cutting off place. And if you were to recall when King David, actually before he was king, he was actually a shepherd, and he fights Goliath. Well, he fights Goliath at a place known as Ephes Damin. And of course, the word Damin is the word for blood in its plural form, Dam being blood, Damin being bloods. And so that place known as Ephes Damin was actually the boundary of blood. And so I believe what Father is actually calling your attention to here in this word Ephes, translated as none like me, is the fact that there is a boundary of blood. Of course, it's referring to that blood of Messiah, Yeshua, that enables us to be reconnected back to our Father, our Creator, and there's no longer any enmity between us. Now, in Isaiah 46, verse 10, here's what says. declaring the end from the beginning. Well, this word beginning here is the word Bereshit, which is the title of the Torah portion from last week, and we're going to delve into it. It begins in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 8. And if you'll continue looking in Isaiah 46:10, he says, he's declaring the end, which is Acharit, our day. And that word Acharit should also be familiar to you in the Hebrew language. If you remember back in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses is asking Father to show him his face, and Father says, Moses, no man can see my face and live. However, I will show you my hinder parts. Well, that word hinder is exactly this word here for the end. I'm showing you the hinder parts, what comes at the end, what comes behind, what comes at the latter from the beginning. In other words, Father's going to show you what's happening in our day, the end day, the culmination of his creation calendar. He's going to show you that, and he'll show it to you if you go back to the beginning, Bereshit, the book of beginnings, and it's there that you'll discover that the ancient times, things that are not yet done, will reveal that his counsel will stand, and he has in fact done all of his pleasure. Now it's interesting, as we begin to take note of that, that Father's revealing some tremendous things in this book of Bereshit, the book of beginnings, book of Genesis, that, to be honest with you, a number of individuals get so overwrought with when they start looking at it that they really have a difficult time grasping what Father's trying to teach us. And I'm convinced with all my heart that in this teaching that he is trying to give us some insight regarding what is about to happen, not only so that you and I can will not be caught off guard. Remember, we're talking about Jeremiah, and Jeremiah reminds us in the last days not to be overwhelmed at the signs or dismayed at the signs as the heathen are. And what Father's trying to reveal to us as we look at these Torah portions, and remember they come in cycles, and that's why at the end of Tabernacles, every year we go back to the beginning. It's a type of teaching. It's the purest, simplest form of teaching, repetition. And so what we do, we go back to the book of beginnings, and we begin to reassess, reaffirm again, if you will, our foundation. Remember, it's hard to build anything properly if the foundation's not addressed to start with. And that's what happens to us quite so often in today's church when we see people that are beginning to develop a relationship with Yahweh, and we always admonish them. At least we used to. When I was in a church world, we would completely disavow what was written in the Torah and tell them to go back and start with the Gospel of John. Well, the Gospel of John's wonderful, but it doesn't really have the foundation that you can get from the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. And so I always tell people, go back and start with the foundation. And if you ever have problems with what you're building, I suggest you always look at the foundation first. Now, as we begin to delve into it, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 8, there are so many wonderful hidden clues in this Torah portion, and I always like to look at the numeric value of the numbers. There are specific numbers that are very powerful, very prevalent in this particular book, and one of those is the number 7, and it's really fitting that the number 7 is so prevalent here, because the number 7 has a root stem, three-letter root stem in Hebrew, the Shin, Bet, Ayin, the word Shiva. It actually has three fundamental meanings which convey just about everything that the salvific message entails, and you can see that all the way throughout Scripture. Number one, it conveys the understanding of the number 7, and 7 has to do with the Creator's calendar that was established in Genesis chapter 1, and you can see that all the way through the book of Revelation. That word Shiva, Shin Bet Ayin, also conveys the idea of something that has been completed, something that's full, consummate, if you will, and it also conveys the idea or the mindset of one who is about to cut an oath or to swear to something. There was a term that used to be used, not so much anymore, but used to be used, and it was called sevening oneself. You would seven yourself. You would cut a covenant. Well, this number 7, and the reason I'm going to share this with you is because in the book of beginnings, in this chapter 1, and in particular verse 1, there are 28 total letters. And of course, 4 times 7 is 28. Number 4 in Hebrew is the Hebrew letter Dalet, which represents the doorway. And so I believe with all my heart that Father's trying to teach you that the doorway to completion, the doorway to his calendar connecting you to the 7, the doorway to his oath cutting, to the swearing of the covenant, is literally seen in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where Father says, in the beginning, Yahweh creates the heavens and the earth. And as we look at it, that number 7 is really closely related to perfection and forgiveness as well. I'll give you a good example. How many of you remember in Matthew chapter 18? As a matter of fact, let's just jump over there real quick and we'll look at that. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. I'm sure you're familiar with this. The apostle Peter is speaking to the Messiah and he asks him about forgiveness. Now, this should be very important to us because we just finished that season known as Teshuvah, from the Feast of Trumpets through the Festival of Tabernacles, where we would do self-reflection and we would examine our lives throughout the course of the year. And if, in fact, we had offended our brothers, or if we had been offended by our brothers, it works both ways, then what we would do, we would seek to be restored. We would ask for forgiveness, offer that forgiveness, and forgive ourselves as well. And then as we did that, we could seek to seek that restoration between the two. Now, listen to this. Peter's asking Yeshua, and in verse 21, chapter 18 in the book of Matthew, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Messiah, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Well, Yeshua said unto him, I say not unto you until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Now, remember, you always go back to the law of first reference in order to properly understand something. Well, right here, you see the number 70, which is a multiple, or as factors are 10 and 7. It's a multiple of 7. And, of course, that number 7 is first seen back there in Genesis chapter 1. And we also remember that 70 times 7 is 490. And I'm quite sure those of you that are familiar with eschatology, which is the study of end times, the season that we're living in, and right now everybody's really caught up thinking about the season known as Jacob's trouble, the birth pangs that will begin prior to Jacob's troubling. And we know that that was associated with that 490-year prophetical season that Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27 talks about. And if you remember Daniel chapter 9, it talks about a season of 70 times 7 weeks. Remember, the Messiah was cut off, and then we have that last week of 7 years that has always been associated with tribulation. Now, let's look at something just a little bit different, if you'll allow me. And I'm not going to completely get away from Bereshit, the Torah portion that we're studying. I promise you, as you look at it, you'll see that it actually forms a beautiful overlay that will be really in keeping with what Genesis is trying to convey, because that number 7 is deeply embedded. You're familiar with the Sabbath. You know that Genesis chapter 2 initiates the Sabbath. It's actually the seal or the signet ring of the covenant that was implemented there in Genesis chapter 1. And so you can find the number 7 is so beautifully embedded in this particular Torah portion, you cannot separate it. It would be to your benefit to begin to dig out these wonderful little nuggets. And so let's look at that number, 70 times 7, 490. And if you were to study it from its numerical standpoint, you'd see that 490 happens also to be, and please don't misunderstand that for sarcasm or coincidence, because there's no such thing in the Torah as coincidence or accident. And so when I share these things and I use that phrase, it just happens, it literally means that Father has specifically, strategically planted these things here, and it's up to you. It's the duty of the kings to write it, and it's the obligation of the kings to search it out. It's the duty of every man and woman, I believe, your obligation to dig the truth out of the Torah. Now, that number 490 happens to be the numeric value of the word Thummim. I'm sure that you remember the Urim and Thummim. Remember, the two articles that were inside the breastplate of the high priest, and the high priest would consult those two articles whenever a question was posed by the people to Yahweh, or whenever Yahweh wanted to convey a message to the people. Well, traditionally, Urim and Thummim has been translated as lights, Urim, the plural form of Ur, and the word Thummim, meaning perfections. And I remember, you should remember rather, that one of the fundamental meanings of that root word Shiva is something that is full, complete, or perfected, okay? Now, the word Thummim is spelled Tav, Mem, Yod, Mem. Now, I want you to remember that. Write it down somewhere. I'll wait on you. Tav, Mem, Yod, Mem. Well, that's the word that's the same as the word Tamim, spelled exactly the same in the Hebrew language, just vowel points pronounced a little bit different. And the word Tamim, its numeric value again, 490, is first seen in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, when it was said that Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah, and Noah was perfect Tamim in his generations. And so now that number 7 has just connected you here in this book of beginnings, Bereshit, it's just connected you to the lights and perfections, receiving information, conveying instructions, wisdom, knowledge from Yahweh through the Urim and Thummim. But it's also now connecting you to something regarding the generational perfection. And you understand that it was talking about the bloodline of Noah, because all of the rest of the known world except Noah, Noah's wife, Noah's three sons and their wives had a tainted bloodline. They were tainted with the offspring of the giants that were found in those days, and Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives had a Tamim generation. In other words, they had not compromised their bloodline. And so I want you to remember that, because we're seeing here in the book of Genesis a connection. Remember Isaiah 46:10? He's declaring the end, our day, from the beginning, Bereshit. And I'm sure you're familiar with Matthew 24:37, because Yeshua says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, let's get back to that word Thummim and the word Tamim, both spelt, again, exactly the same in the Hebrew language. The vowel points just makes the word pronounced differently. And again, they're written Tav, Mem, Yod, Mem. Now, let's set that Hebrew letter Tav aside for a second. And you remember that when it's used as a prefix, it conveys third-person future tense. In other words, you shall, he shall, she shall. Okay? Now, let's look at the three-letter root stem, the Mem, Yod, Mem. That word should be familiar with you. And as a matter of fact, that word is first seen back here in Genesis chapter 1, and it's the word Mayim, the word in Hebrew for waters. Isn't that amazing? And so now you understand something regarding the number 7 and its association with completion, fullness, perfection, oath cutting and swearing, and taking you all the way back to the book of beginnings, and yet revealing something in the end. Now you see that it's also connected with this word Mayim. And of course, the word Mayim, if you were to look at its numeric value, you have the Mem, Yod, Mem. Mem is 40, Yod 10, and then you have an additional Mem, another 40, so it makes the number 90. That's the word for Zadi, the Hebrew letter that means righteousness. And so literally, what you could see with this word Tamim or Ta-Mayim, you could literally see a connection to the Tav, the Hebrew letter for the covenant, a mark, a sign, but you could also note that it has a future tense. And so basically, what I believe is being said is that after 490 years, or 490 weeks of years, 70 times 7, you enter a mikvah in the covenant waters. Now, isn't that exactly what happens in this next Torah portion with Noah? Noah's instructed to build an ark. For what purpose? To protect he and his family from the flood. Now, remember, that very same flood that was the bitter waters of jealousy that judged all the known world became a mikvah, a source of living water for Noah. Well, this is exactly the pattern that you see here in Genesis chapter 1. As a matter of fact, if you go back and look in chapter 1, you'll find that Father first separates the waters from the waters, and then he gathers the waters together, and that term is mikvah. And so, once again, you see a mikvah of the mayim, a gathering of the waters taking place here in Bereshit. Father's telling us that we will, after this end of this week of years, 70 times 7 that Daniel talks about, culminating at the end of this tribulation period, not only are you going to be allowed to enter into an ark of safety that will afford you access to the living waters, that very same flood that destroys the known world and cuts off that compromised generation will afford you the opportunity to have access to the living waters. Now, that's pretty amazing, because this is right here in this Torah portion, Bereshit. Now, there's some other interesting thing. That word Tamim, there in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it occurs at the seventh mention of Noah's name. Noah's name was mentioned seven times, and at the seventh mention, it's actually mentioned more than that, but at the seventh mention, right here, you see again a connection with Noah's name. So now we have to look at that word Noah. And of course, you know that it's wrote with a Nun Ket. Nun being 50, Ket being 8. So 58 is the numeric value. Well, 58 happens to be the gematria of the Hebrew word ozen, which is a word for ear, implying to hear. And now if you take the word Noah and look at it from the reverse side, rather than Nun Ket Noah, you have Ket Nun. It's the word kin for grace. And isn't that exactly what Noah found? Noah found kin. Noah found grace. And so you can see a beautiful wordplay right there in the Hebrew language that you cannot see in the English or any other translation. And it's interesting, because what Father's trying to teach you right there at the seventh mention of the name Noah, in conjunction with that word Tamim, which means perfect, and that number 7, which means oath cutting, swearing, completion, something that has been fulfilled, Father's trying to teach you the basic overall premise of his salvation redemption plan. And as soon as I saw that, I was reminded of Romans 10:17. And it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Well, the word hearing, remember the word ozen, the word for ears? Well, in Hebrew, the word hearing or hear is the word shema. And that word means to hear and obey. And so it gives you some insight about what grace really means. Grace is far more than just, you know, the Father just throwing something on you, even though you don't merit it. Well, that's what you were taught, that it's free unmerited favor, when in fact, grace comes from being obedient. That's why Noah received grace, because he was tamim. He was perfect in his generations. It means that he obeyed the word of Yah. Now, since you see the word Noah having the numeric value of 58, and it's right here when his name was mentioned for the seventh time, it's interesting, if you multiply 7 times 58, you have the number 406. Well, 406 happens to be the numeric value of the Hebrew word Tav. Again, that's the word that is actually indicating the Hebrew letter Tav. And remember, the Tav means the covenant, the mark, the sign of the covenant. And so once more, Father's telling us those that will hear and obey will become perfect in their generations, and they will be allowed to in the living waters and will escape the coming flood. Now, we're close to the break of the half hour. In just a few seconds, we'll talk about what flood on the other side of this break. I hope you've enjoyed it thus far. Remember, tell somebody about what you're hearing, and I'll see you on the other side of the break. In the meanwhile, you come back and sit down with me. We have just got to talk. I'll see you in a few moments. Shalom.
This is Don speaking up for the Heber Nation Bookstore. I know you're busy, but I wanted to remind you about the Heber Nation Bookstore. If you haven't been there lately, you've got to get in and see what's going on. We have all kinds of new materials that will help you in your walk. It's jam-packed full of things that you would like to have give to your family during this holiday season. The Creation Gospel Workbook by Halissa Elline. The One Nation Under God Family Bible Study for a Biblical Israel. A number of different t-shirts that tell exactly who you are in our nation. Tony Robinson's thematic study, The Scroll of David. Or how about the new paperback, Andrew Gabriel Roth's Aramaic English New Testament. Or maybe you have family and friends that are just starting to understand or maybe want to know more about what you're doing. Valerie Moody's CD set on the festivals of Yahweh are perfect for your friends and family that think you might have missed a loop or two in your new Hebraic phase. Hey, we also have handmade gift cards from Hebraic Perspective. You're really going to love those. So no matter what you're looking for, check out the Hebrew Nation Bookstore. Not everything's online, so stop by at 3190 Lancaster Drive Northeast. That's in Salem, Oregon. Or call 503-316 for gift suggestions. Of course, our email is radio@t2tn.com. And we'll put as much up on the internet as quickly as we can. Thank you for helping support the station and calling Israel home. Shalom, everybody.
Good morning and welcome back to Heber Nation Radio. You are listening to David Matthews, and this is Man Alive. I want to remind you that if you'd like to call in, the number is 503-316-1220, KPJC 1220. This is Wired Radio at its best. I am convinced that Father has really provided for you a wonderful opportunity to have access to some tremendous Torah teachers and some other wonderful tools that will help you as you begin your walk in the Torah. All of you Hebrews that are returning home, it's amazing that Father has this particular venue that's out there for you free of charge. All you have to do is just access the radio program. You can go to HebrewNationRadio.com and you can see all of the archived podcasts there and some wonderful information that Father will that Father's given you. And let me just remind you, why don't you get write down the phone number, 503-316-1220. Call in and let them know how much you appreciate what they're doing. And by all means, do more than that. Send in some finances if you can to help continue to spread this gospel of the kingdom that Yeshua told you would be preached. And when it is finished, then shall the end come. Well, this is a message that's being preached right now. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And it's a wonderful opportunity as we go back and address this past week's Torah portion. Remember, we just came out of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're literally beginning a new Torah cycle, a new year in the Torah. And as we do that, once more, we're being reminded of our fellowship with the Creator having been restored through the person of Messiah. We know that at one time we were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. We were at enmity with Yahweh, and Yeshua comes. And because of what he did in his flesh back there in Ephesians chapter 2, he broke down that middle wall of partition between us and has made of the two of us one new man. And so it's wonderful as we begin to delve into these Torah portions, the tremendous wisdom that you can glean from these things that will allow you to walk through the days that are in front of us without any fear, without any hesitation, without any reservation, knowing that the gospel of the kingdom that is being written now was written at the very foundation of creation, written in the heavens, written in the earth, and now Father's taken us back to this book of beginnings to give us the kind of understanding that we need so that we can walk out our Torah. We can write the Torah in with our lives as these days approach. That's why I started today's broadcast with Isaiah 46:10. To remind you that the end, our day, has in fact been declared from the beginning. And as we were looking, we were basically examining how important some of the numbers that we're seeing in this particular Torah portion are to us, in particular the number 7 and different multiples of the number 7. One of those was the number 28. You know that there are 28 letters in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Yahweh creates the heavens and the earth. Bereshit, bara Elohim, Vayetz, Haaretz, Hashemayim, Vayetz, Haaretz. Now, as we looked at it, that number 28 has the numerical value of Strong's number 2409, Chatiyah, and that's a feminine noun that means an offering for sin. It only appears one time there in Ezra chapter 6, verse 17, and that was where they were rebuilding the temple after having left Babylonian captivity. Remember Ezra and Nehemiah and Zechariah? They were all contemporary, one with another, and here we are following that same pattern. We're shortly leaving Babylon. That's why you're being admonished right now to come out of her. Who is the her? Revelation 18:4 says, come out of her, my people. Again, that Babylonian system. And as you come out, you're going to be allowed to help rebuild the temple. And that offering for sin that it's talking about here is to remind us that the victory of Messiah was to there to pay, to become that ultimate sin offering so that you don't have to pay that penalty. And it was to restore the Adam. Now, prior to the break, we were talking about the connection with the word flood and how those in Noah's day were protected by the living waters of the flood while they were inside the Ark of the Covenant. Again, I believe with all my heart, the Ark of the Covenant is synonymous with Messiah, who is the Ark. And I also believe that it is synonymous with the Torah, because Yeshua was the Torah made flesh. And so if you stay in that Torah of the covenant, and you know what's really concerning to me is that a lot of our brothers, even in the church world, do not understand what the Torah of the covenant really is. And they teach that the Old Testament has been done away with, that it was antiquated, and it's been supplanted by, if you will, the New Testament, when in fact nothing could be farther from the truth. As a matter of fact, the Torah, the written law as it's commonly referred to, it would be better referred to as teachings and instructions that was given to Moses. That law was in fact the terms of a ketubah, a wedding contract. And I just had the pleasure just a week or so ago of doing a Hebrew wedding for a young couple. And they in fact had a ketubah, which was the contract that was agreed upon between the two parties. And it had the terms of the contract written out there. And not only was it witnessed by them, but all of those in attendance, myself included. Well, this is exactly what the Torah does. And this particular Torah portion, Bereshit, reminds us that all those that will hear and obey, just like Noah did, they will be perfect in their generation. And just as Noah, they will be mikvahed in the living water and escape the coming flood. And remember, that flood was a source of destruction. It was the same pattern as the bitter waters of jealousy, Numbers chapter 5. The same waters that could be waters that would judge you guilty and cause that harlot's belly and thigh to rot out. If she was not guilty, guess what? When she drank the waters and literally her insides were mikvahed with that living water, it says that she would conceive and produce children. Well, that's exactly the premise that you find completely embedded, not only here in Genesis chapter 1, but it runs all the way through the Torah. Now, if in fact this is a rehearsal of the end day as well, you have to ask the question, is there going to be another flood? And will we be enabled by the living waters to escape this coming flood? Well, the first thing that people will say was that Father promised not to ever destroy the world again by a flood. Well, that's exactly right. But Revelation chapter 12 tells us that in the end days, the dragon is going to issue a flood of water out of his mouth, and that flood of water would serve the purpose of attempting to destroy the sun-clothed woman and her offspring, which is the house of Israel and her children. Well, that's exactly what you saw happening in Genesis chapter 5 and 6. The enemy vomited out the seed out of his mouth. Now listen to me, I want you to pay close attention, because the word flood, not only does it mean waters, but it can infer what has been the words that has been issued out of the mouth. Words and seeds, seed are synonymous, and it was the seed of the dragon, the fallen ones, the Nephilim, the giants, that had almost completely destroyed the known world. And so you could literally say that the flood of the serpent seed had almost destroyed the bride of Yah in Noah's day. Well, that's the very same premise that you see once more in Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. And what happens in Revelation 12, 15? It tells us that the earth, now I want you to notice this, the earth opens its mouth and receives that seed, the flood, the waters that came out of the dragon's mouth. Well, as soon as I saw that, I was instantly reminded of another instance where the earth opened up and swallowed the rebellious. And of course, you remember that was when Moshe was being contested by Korah, and all of those that were rebellious in Korah's day. And if you can recall what happens, it says once again that the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all of his family. Now, the interesting thing is that we're told there that Moses made a declaration. He said, if a new thing happens, well, the word for new thing happening there is Strong's number 1278, Better Yah, and it means a new thing. But if you notice, it happens to be a compound word, Bara Yah. Bara means to create. And the word Yah, of course, is the short form of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And so Ber-Yah means Yah has created. And it's interesting, if you were to break it down, its numeric value is 218, the same as the word Yerach, which means a new moon. And remember, the new moon is once more every 28 days. There's that number 28. It's a new thing, a new cycle. Starting over again, it's death, burial, and resurrection. Once more, you see the entire salvific message being revealed to you in that particular cycle, connecting you back to the first chapter of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. And as I was looking at it, I was reminded of several other occasions where the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the ribs. And it also, on one instance, it swallowed up Abel there in Genesis chapter 4. And, of course, you have Korah, the rebellious one, Revelation chapter 12. In each of those instances, the earth literally opens up and swallows individuals. But there are two other instances where figuratively you see the earth opening up. And one of those is when Jonah is in the belly of the whale. And I'm sure that you remember that. Back there in Jonah chapter 1 and 2, Jonah goes into the belly of the whale and he cries out that he's in the bowels of Sheol, the bowels of hell, or the bowels of the earth, actually indicating that the earth had opened up and swallowed him. And of course, you know that Yeshua, he goes down into Sheol, into hell, into the bowels of the earth. And so once again, you see the earth opening up. Now, this is interesting. I want to make this connection. This is all revealed to you here in this Torah portion, Better Sheet, if you'll just take the time to begin to dig into the Torah. Now, I want you to go and look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 11, Numbers chapter 16, verse 30, and Revelation chapter 12, verse 16. Each one of them has some common words in the language. It says that the earth opens its mouth and swallows. And so I want to look at that word open to begin with. It's Strong's number 6475, Patsah, 6475, Patsah. It means to separate. It means to open. It can mean to set free. It can mean to utter. Remember I told you that the dragon opened his mouth and a flood came out? In other words, it's not specifically talking about a literal flood of waters, but actually words that will be issued, word that will issue forth out of the dragon's mouth like a flood. Well, that word can also mean to tear into pieces. Now, the interesting thing here is that word mouth, the word pay, it means the words that are spoken, speech that's uttered. And the interesting thing is the connection here. The earth could only swallow those who died. And remember that death came as a result of sin. For by one man's sin, death entered into the world, and death by sin. And so the earth swallows up those who are in rebellion. Well, that also included Abel because of the sin of his father Adam. And it includes Korah, and it includes Jonah, and it includes all of those in Revelation chapter 12, and it included Yeshua. Now, Yeshua, because there was no sin in him, no rebellion in him, he was then able to unlock the gates, open up the bowels of hell, and cause those who had been held by death, held in the grave, to be released. That's why it's important for you to start making these connections. Abel was held until Messiah came. Jonah was held until Messiah came. Moshe was held until Messiah came. And Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that he led captivity captive. He took the first fruits of that resurrection and he led them and presented them to the Father in the form of a wave offering. Now, and it goes on to say, the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed. Well, the word swallow here is the word balah, which means to swallow and engulf. And you remember, once more, Jonah was swallowed by the fish. Well, Yeshua said, I'm going to give you only one sign that I am Messiah, and it would be the sign of Jonah. Now, not only was that sign connecting us to the 3 days and three nights that he would be in the grave, that he would be swallowed up in the bowel, that the earth would open its mouth and receive him, but it's also reminding us that it was through Yeshua that all of those that had been held captive by death could be redeemed. That's why you hear the Apostle Shaul, Paul, make the statement, oh, death, where is your victory? Isn't that powerful? Now, all of those of us who were held in its grasp have been set free by the price that Yeshua paid for us. And if you remember, excuse me, Yahweh speaks to Cain after Cain has killed his brother Abel, and he tells Cain that Abel's blood cries out. And if you go back and look in Jonah chapter 2, verse 3, you find that Jonah himself cries out. And if you go back and read the Messianic Psalms that King David writes, you'll find that Yeshua himself cries out. Well, the word cried here in Jonah chapter 2, verse 3 is Strong's number 7768, pronounced Shawa. It actually is written Sheen Vav Ayin, and that Vav gives it a W, like a W sound, and it's etymologically very similar to Strong's number 7650, the Sheen Beit Ayin Shava, the root of the word seven, the root of the word meaning to cut an oath, to be complete, to be perfect. Did you hear that? And if you can remember, when he cried out, Yahweh heard him and delivered him. Why? Because he reminded him in crying out of his oath. And I'm convinced with all my heart that that's the only way that you and I are able to escape the throes of death, the bondage of death, the bondages of sin, is to be in covenant with Yah and to remind Yahweh of his oath on every occasion that we're given. And it's incumbent upon you as a believer to find out what the covenants are, because just because you are ignorant of the law doesn't excuse you from the obligation to honor it. And on the other hand, if you're ignorant of the law, think about this. The enemy can keep you in bondage if you don't know the terms that the covenant provides for your liberty. Now, that's what bothers me, because so many of our brothers are kept in bondage and don't understand that Yeshua paid the price, the penalty, to set you free. That's why Isaiah 61 is important, and that's why Luke chapter 4 is important, when Yeshua said, the Spirit of Yah is upon me, and he talks about setting free the captives, preaching deliverance to those that had been held, recovering of sight to the blind, healing for the sick, and preaching the acceptable year of Yah. Now, here in Genesis chapter 1, in this Torah portion, Bereshit, it's important for you to remember that number 7 is literally embedded to give you some insight. Again, It's to remind you that Father has provided for us an opportunity to see the terms of the covenant, and it's to remind us that if we will be obedient to the Torah, that we're going to experience the blessings of Yahweh. And as a matter of fact, you remember the numeric value of Noah's name, 58, that it was the same as the Hebrew word for grace, kin. Well, it's interesting. If you were to look at the word for testing, in other words, you're going to be tested, you're going to be tried, you're going to be proven. Well, that happens to be Strong's number 976, Bohan, and it does in fact mean to test, to prove, to examine. But if you were to break that word apart, the word bo means to come, and the word bohan means grace. And so if you want grace to come, grace to arrive, it will only come, listen to me, grace only comes, grace only arrives when your obedience has been tested. Well, that kin, the numeric value, once more, 58, if you add that value of the letter bait for bow there, it's 2. So 58 plus 2 is 60, and that is the same numeric value as Yahweh HaShafat, Yahweh the judge, and he will judge you righteously according to the Torah. And it's interesting because that seventh day that we see literally revealed as the signet ring to the covenant of Yahweh, there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, it's witnessed by all the hosts of heaven and earth. Remember that? Well, the word for host there is sabah, but if you make it in its plural form, Savot or Savot, which is one of the titles of Yahweh, Yahweh Shavuot, the Lord of hosts, and you were to look at the numeric value of the word Savot, it's 499. Well, if you multiply that times 7, remember that was the Sabbath and all the hosts were gathered, 7 times 499 gives you the number 3,493, and that happens to be the gematria of the Greek phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? Because all the hosts of heaven are going to be assembled again to call to witness, to be called to witness the end of or the consummation of the covenant at the end of these days that you and I are shortly about to enjoy. So it's really amazing that Father has hidden all these things in the Torah for you, in particular this particular portion, Bereshit. One more time. Happens also to be the numeric value of the word in Hebrew that means clay, which is what man was formed from. And if you remember, Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, once again tells us of an attempted union between iron and miry clay, and which is exactly what was taking place there in Genesis chapter 6. It's interesting that the word for clay there in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, is the word Strong's number 2635. Pay attention to this. It's kasaf, ket samik pay. Well, that samik pay happens to be the root of the word Yosef, Joseph. And once again, you'll find that it is Joseph, those that have been scattered, that will be mingled with the iron if they don't stay within the confines of the marriage covenant. That Hebrew letter ket means the fenced off place, the protected place. And the samik pay, in addition to being the root of the word Joseph, it can also mean the doorway, the threshold, like crossing over the threshold into the house when one is being married. So those that are outside the fenced off place of the Torah, the marriage covenant, they're going to be subject to strong delusion. You're going to be subject to that flood that's coming. And I would suggest that you go back and you begin to examine the Torah portions that we've been sharing with you on a consistent basis. They're podcasted at HebrewNationRadio.com for your benefit, and you can also call in at 503-316-1220. There's a lot of different places that you can get access to these teachings, not just myself, but a number of other wonderful brothers and sisters. And these Torah portions are literally replete with instructions on how you can walk in righteousness and you can be like Noah was, tamim, perfect in your generations. And that is inferring that you will not yourself with the serpent seed. Now, again, that serpent seed is likened unto the flood that will issue forth out of his mouth. Because the word flood, the word waters, the word seed, they're all synonymous with the spoken word. And it's that spoken word that was the seed that was planted all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 by Hasatan. And that was the initial appearance of the serpent seed in the earth. And that attempt to compromise is seen literally throughout this particular Torah portion and literally throughout the scriptures. You just have to know the fundamental precepts in the Torah so that you can literally see it. Now, I know that we're getting close to the end of today's broadcast. I hope that you've enjoyed this teaching. You can contact me at dmat77@bellsouth.net if you have questions that you'd like for me to answer personally. Until tomorrow, make sure that you are digging in the Torah, and I will see you. You and I will sit down because we have just got to talk. Appreciate you. Shalom in your house. Thank you.